Okay.
The final shiur before the summer. I'm trying to learn a little bit of Tanya to be marshalim what we've been learning from his illustrious ancestor, about Tanya's ancestor, the Maral, to understand the Maral more ba'imik by learning a little bit of Tanya. We're just able to scratch the surface, mamas. So it's only to give a little bit of a taste, with the hope that each and every one will try to learn, if possible, to go through these prakim properly, instead of just running through the prakim. The prakim I'm referring to are Lamed Hey, Lamed Vav, and Lamed Zayin, which are Yesoides Amunah, Mamish fundamental principles of Amunah in these prakim. Because the Maral, what we've been learning the Maral, and we're going to continue Mitzvah Hashem, I hope all should be healthy and well, and Halavai should be in Yerushalayim. We'll be continuing with the Maral Mitzvah Hashem in September. So the real issue is, why are we doing mitzvahs? What's the point of our mitzvahs? What's the tachlis? And the Baal HaTanya we learned last week in Lamed Hay, the Baal HaTanya is really sharpening and intensifying the question with the reality, with the painful reality, that man struggles throughout his entire life. It's not quite sure what exactly is this Jew struggling for, what he expects, but there is this perpetual struggle, which Lamaisa, he's never going to have menucha from the Nefesh Bahamas, from the animal soul, the Tanya says. He's never going to finish this work that he began in the world. And he's always going to have to deal with the Yetzer Hara and so on. What we learned was that the Baal Tanya is explaining this, the significance of Kiyum HaMitzvah, that it's not... The point is not how do I feel about the mitzvah, as we were learning in the Maral, how does this make me feel? It's not from a psychological perspective, but instead the point in Yiddishkeit in general is making a choice between feeling a certain way, feeling something that makes you feel spiritual or good, or being connected mamish to the truth, or doing what's good, or doing what's the emes, what's the truth. And in order to explain this, the Baal HaTanya quotes the statement from the Yanuka, from the Zohar Kaddish that we spoke about last week, and we're going to finish up the parak this week and start a little bit weiter further. So Baal HaTanya brings from the Yanuka and Parshas Balak and the Zohar, it's coming up soon, where there that wondrous child, the Yanuka in the Zohar, is explaining the pasuk Hachacham Eina Barosha, that the wise man, his eyes are in his head. And the Zohar, the Yanuka, the child asks, what does that mean, that the wise man's eyes are in his head? Where should his eyes be? Everybody's eyes are in the head. What does that mean? So he explained, the Yanuka said, that the Shechina is a fire, is a light that's shining from the head of a Jew. The body of the Jew itself, the guf, is the psila, is like the wick. But the shemen, the oil that keeps the Shechina lit above the Jew's head, That shemen is mitzvahs amasim tovim, physical mitzvahs, the actual mitzvahs that we do. That's the shemen, that's the oil, the fuel to keep the fire burning. And the question is, why is that? Why can't it be? Why do we have to have physical mitzvahs amasim tovim, to keep the fire of the Shechina, that candle lit? Why isn't it possible just to love and to fear Hashem, and to feel close to Him, and to feel devoted, and to daven, and so on? Why is it necessary? Why is it necessary to have physical mitzvahs amasim tovim? What's the point of our mitzvahs? And as we said, since the person's entire life he has to struggle with the Yetzer Hara, with the Nefesh HaBahamas, so what's the point? So the Baal HaTanya we were talking about this Bariches last week, that what is unique about a mitzvah is that it's a pure revelation of God's will. And we're going to talk more about that tonight, with it's purely a revelation of Hashem's will. Everything else, if I'm in love, I love Hashem, I fear Hashem, I'm devoted to Hashem, the bottom line is that's all going through my emotions, through my intellect. It's all a question of how do I feel, how does it make me feel, what's my perception. But when I'm, therefore, since the ani, since the I is always there, and it's the anochi, or made bein echem uvein Hashem, there's that I, that ego, that self, that means that you're limited, every human being is limited to this world. Even if it's a great tzaddik. Even if it's Moshe Rabbeinu, he couldn't go above 49 levels. The highest level that he reached was 49 levels of Bina, the 49 gates of understanding. Because sof kol sof, even the greatest tzaddik, the domain that he is functioning in is the domain of the self, of this physical world, of his own ego. However, when a Jew is obeying a mitzvah, even if you don't feel it, certainly it's ideal to connect to the mitzvah to feel more. But even if you don't feel a thing, when you are doing that, what we learned last week from the Tanya is basically, instead of speaking now your language, you're speaking Hashem's language. You're pressing in a certain code. And by observing that mitzvah in its fullest, the second that you're observing that according to halacha, you're plugging into something which is beyond man. You're plugging into something which is infinite, to something which transcends you, yourself, your little life, your ego. It transcends everything. And it's kula elokus. It's entirely godly. That act that you're doing is completely godly. From beginning to end. With the kavanas, if you have thoughts, if you have intention, that's great. But this is how the Shechina, through the mitzvah of Ma'asim Tovim, now we didn't get finished, through mitzvah of Ma'asim Tovim, the Shechina is shining above the head of a Jew.
How do mitzvahs like Avat Hashem and Yerat Hashem themselves fit into this?
So, the Baal Tanya would explain, according to, for instance, let's just talk L'moshel, Yerat Hashem. So the Shita of Rabbein Yoina is that Yiras Hashem is not just a feeling. Yiras Hashem means that when I'm confronted with a challenge to do an aveira and bepoil, I resist that. That effort, that energy, that maisa of resisting would be the levush in this world of Yiras Hashem and Ahavas Hashem. So as we know that there's a couple, that the Chachamim were makabel, the Achray is to tell us. And so on. Those mitzvahs, again, what does it mean? So the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvahs defines how does one go about loving Hashem. It's not just a question of feeling.
It's not just, but it is a question of feeling too.
The point of the mitzvah say, though, of the Rambam, the mitzvah say of Ahavas Hashem is, for instance, what the Rambam talks about in the third mitzvah and Sefer Mitzvahs is that the name of Hashem Shemis Ahav. That you should cause Hashem to be loved in the world. What does that mean? The question that Rabbi Chanan of Asman talks about, everybody talks about, is how could you command somebody regarding his emotions? How do you tell someone you must love? So the conclusion, of course, of most of the Rishonim is that it's, the issue here is not how do you feel, that you must perform certain acts that are the type of acts that one does for a loved one. It's the same thing with Ahav L'Recha Kamecha, and the same thing with Ahav L'Hashem L'Kecha, that one must engage in certain acts. For instance, what the Gemara says is learning Torah. Learning Torah is a key of Ahav L'Hashem L'Kecha, because when a person learns Torah, so then he comes to recognize and comes to becomes attached to the one who created the world. So even here, we find that throughout the Rishonim, they're not leaving this as something which is nebulous, something which is intangible. They're telling us that enechanami, that through these mitzvahs, one eventually can establish that type of a connection. But the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah b'poil is not a feeling.
But the goal there, unlike the other mitzvahs, is a feeling, perhaps.
That's not so pashut to say. Yeah. It's not so pashut to say that the goal is the feeling. That's a very wonderful benefit that Chazal, through all of these sugyas, Chazal is showing us what are the main ways of reaching, of achieving this. But when the Rambam talks about feeling, so we spoke about that. The Rambam, when he talks about how one feels, so there it's you know, the awe that one feels when looking at the perfection of the universe and so on. But it's interesting. What's interesting, you know, without going into Pilpulum, without going into Lomdus right now, the Rambam, of whether or not that gufa is the kiyum, is that a kiyum in the maisa of a hafla, as Hashem l'kecha, that's not the pashas in the Rambam. Misivus nefesh al kiddush Hashem, and so on. So it's all related to one's actions in this world. Look, let's continue in the Tanya, or on page page 88, around 12 lines down, where it says V'yichud Gomer. V'yichud Gomer. Maybe 11, 12 lines down. After it says V'yichud Gomer. You have it? On 88. The first words on the sentence are V'yichud Gomer.
Yeah,
what does it mean, the Hashros HaShchina? This concept that we're so used to hearing from the time that we're children, that means the presence of the divine presence is hovering, the divine presence is there. What does that mean? In Hashros HaShchina, Gili Elokus Yisbarach, it means a revelation of Elokus of godliness, Vor Ein Sof Baruch Hu, the infinite light of Hashem, Beis Adover V'Hainu, Loima Sha'ois Adover Nichlal Bar Hashem, Ubot Lebe Mitzias. When something is no longer blocking the light of Hashem from entering, like we mentioned many times, that when the Kotzke was a little boy, they asked him, if you're so smart, Mendel, tell me, where does God live? And the Kotzke said that wherever man lets him in, right? That's where God is, wherever man lets him in. So in order to let in Hashem's light, that person has to be botel mitzias. He has to nullify his own presence. He has to nullify his own ego. If the ani is there, then the I is standing between you and Elokus. And I spoke about this many times. That's why when you're in the presence of a tzaddik, you feel so close to Hashem. Because the tzaddik is not blocking Hashem's presence. Usually when you're talking to a regular guy, then he could crest you and talk to you for 2 years about, you know, you gotta learn more, you gotta daven better, you gotta get up earlier, you gotta have more storm, you know, he'll give you all these shmuzen. And you know, you're thinking about it, and sometimes it has ashpa, sometimes it doesn't have ashpa. Sometimes it affects you, sometimes it doesn't. Why? Because when that person's talking to you, you instinctively know that it's not God that's talking to you. There is some God in that, mixed in, but it's also a lot of that person. It's that person's feelings, its opinions and thoughts, right? They're very nice opinions and thoughts, but self to self, he's a human being. And therefore, there's something of the ego, and there's something of his own opinion. But when you're in the presence of a tzaddik, of a Jew who's be'emes a tzaddik, when you're in the presence of a tzaddik, so then it's as if Elokus, godliness, is communicating with you directly, because the tzaddik doesn't have an ego that's in the way. Therefore, a tzaddik, you can walk into a tzaddik, and the tzaddik will tell you, I want you to learn Masechet Brachos this year. That's it. He doesn't have to schmooze you for an hour, doesn't have to cry, doesn't have to beg, doesn't have to show you videos, and doesn't have to take you on trips to make you happy, or picnics for Lag BaOmer. Just says, I want you to learn brachas next year. Gemarindu. Why? Because there's no ani, there's no I. The tzaddik, there's no I.
Does that count for anything the tzaddik says?
Hmm?
Does that go for anything the tzaddik says?
It depends upon how much of an I the person who's listening has. Depends. If you have a very strong sense of self, a very strong ego, then sometimes your own ego is so strong that you can look at the tzaddik and it doesn't make a difference to you. But if you're a person that you're struggling with that and you're trying to diminish the I, so then when you meet up with the tzaddik, so then that's something that one feels in a very, very powerful, very, very strong way. It could be even someone that's not religious, but he's a humble person, b'teva. B'teva, by nature, it could be someone who's not even observant of mitzvahs, but he's in the presence of a tzaddik, he'll be overwhelmed. And I've heard many stories like that. Someone is overwhelmed in the presence of a tzaddik. But bichlal, in general, the person who has a very strong sense of self, the person who's a macher, a knacker, who holds from himself a lot, the haltzman zich, you know, that person, when he's in the presence of a tzaddik, he says, he's a shame, they're bored. He's a nice beard. He's a very friendly, very sweet guy. But as far as feeling the elokus, the godliness, mamish pulsating, the godliness there, so lav davka. Because he's running a block himself. His ego is so thick that it doesn't allow him to experience that. And that's what the tzaddik here is saying, that the hashros hashchina, the shchina is to be found where it's allowed in. That means when somebody is botel b'metzias, when he nullifies his own presence, his own ego, ubotel b'metzias l'gamish ozu shesherim hasgalu by Hashem echad, then Hashem echad can be revealed in that person. But as long as there's something of the self that's there, of the ego, then ein or Hashem sherim as galabai, then the light of Hashem cannot be fully revealed there. Because if it's me, it's not him. As I explained last week, if it's I, then it's not Hashem. That's why Chazal say that when Hashem speaks about the Balgayev, the conceited person, Hashem says, "Ein anivu hu yichadim lodur," that the two of us can't live in one world. Right? This tan ain't big enough for the both of us, for the two of us. Hashem says, a Balgayev, a conceited person, I can't live with him. I can't dwell together with a conceited person. What does that mean? Hashem lives with the entire world. What does it mean Hashem can't dwell with a conceited person? We understand. I mean, since Hashem is everywhere. Of course Hashem is everywhere. But there can't be a revelation of godliness, of Elokus, if that place, if that person is filled with himself. There's no room for Elokus. Vav tzadik gomer now. Even at tzadik gomer, complete tzadik, shem is dabik boi b'yahava rabba, who mamish is attached to Hashem, he loves him deeply. Harei leis machshova tfisa beklal sof kol sof. No human mind is capable of what? Of grasping God. A human limited mind, the I, the self, even if a tzaddik is incapable of grasping the infinite God. Ki amitas Hashem elokim emes hu yichudu v'achdusu shu levadu hu v'efes b'ladu mamish. Only God is that. It's beyond man's understanding. It's beyond our comprehension. V'im kein, ze ha'oyhev shu yesh v'loy efes. Therefore, even a tzaddik who loves Hashem, it's him. It's a human being who loves Hashem. And that human being is a yesh. He has his own separate existence. V'lo efes, he's not bottled completely. He's not nullified completely. Leis machshava delay tfisa beklal. Therefore, even the tzaddik cannot grasp Hashem. There is that infinite space that separates man from God. Vein or Hashem shoyim as galabai, and the light of Hashem, that candle, that light cannot be lit above the head of the tzaddik. That means even a person who loves Hashem and is crying and is davening, is talking day and night to Hashem, he's still on one side of the river. And Hashem's on the other side of the river. And he can't cross that with feelings, with emotions, because no emotion and no intellectual koach is able to cross over that river, that empty space between heaven and earth. No mind and no heart can do that. That's, by the way, one of Rabbi Nachum's most amazing stories, the Heart and the Spring, which is Hafladik, which is in the story of the seven beggars, which is all about this. If you have a chance to look at Rabbi Nachum's story, I mean, don't look at it. You have to learn it. You know, over a couple of weeks, the seven beggars, they're the heart and the spring. It's unbelievable. It's all about this. So, Bein Hashem Shor Mezgalabay El Aliyde Kima Mitzvus. The only way that the Or Hashem can be mezgala in the person, can be revealed in the person. Thank you. The only way that the Or of Hashem. The only way that the light of Hashem can be mezgal in a person, you're warm. You okay? Is how? The only way it can be mezgal is through what? Through kima mitzvahs, through the observance of mitzvahs, through observing mitzvahs. Aide kima mitzvah shahin v'tzayne v'chachmosi yisbarach mamish. That's what the Rebbe is saying. A mitzvah is the, and I'm going to talk about this Shabbos afternoon Be'ez Hashem in Parshas Korach. A mitzvah is the Baruch Shalom crossing over into your life. And the Rebbe is going to talk about that in the next parak. You see, the tachlis of creation is Nisava Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisbarach Dir B'satam Hashem expressed that his desire is to dwell in this world. Hashem didn't say that his desire is that man should raise himself up to the higher world. That's not what it says. That's a different mahalach. We'll talk about that. That was Korach's understanding. But the emes is that the Baruch Hu wants to dwell in this world, to be shorim as gala in this physical world. Therefore, in the order for Hashem is baruch, to cross over that river, and I'm using the term river because the Zohar uses that term river. Me'eva hanar, be'eva hanar, yoshva v'seich mi'oilam, terach avi Avram. The Zohar says that this world is separated from Hashem by a river. It's called the river of light that separates the two worlds. In order for us to become connected to Hashem, I can't cross that river. I can't, a human being with my mind and my heart, as great as it is, a tzaddik's mind and heart can't cross that river. But when you're doing a mitzvah, that means on this side of the river, you're holding on to Elokus. You're bringing God into this world, on this side of the river. That's what it means. Ayde kim ha-mitzvah shen v'tzoyne v'chachmos yisbroch, that are the will and the wisdom of Hashem, mamish, b'lishum hest upon him. It's completely Elokus, godliness, without anything hidden. That you don't feel it, we'll talk about in a minute. When a Jew is Isaac Betar learning Torah, Azay Nishmosa Shei Nafsha Elokis, at that moment his neshama, which is the godly soul, Mishnei Lavusha Hapnimim Levadim Hem Koyach Hadibur V'Machshava. At that time when you're learning Torah, you are engaging the two of the levushim, two of the garments of your soul. That means two of the means of your soul expressing itself, which are what? Your thoughts and your Koyach Hadibur, your thoughts and your speech. Right? And your words. Those are two of the levushim. Nechlolos, the next page, Memhei. Nechlolos bor Hashem ein soif baruch hu. When you're sitting and learning, you could be learning a Gemara Gittin. You're learning a Gemara from Bava Basra. You're learning a Gemara that's talking about Hilchos Nezikin. You're learning something in Tafa Kayin. Sugi in the Gemara. When you're uttering those words at that moment, your mouth, whether you realize it or not, how you feel about it, that's a separate thing. But at that moment, the infinite God is enclosed in the words that come out from your mouth. When you say those words, Omar Abaye Omar Rava, when you say Tana Rabbanan, when you say Tanya, when you say those words, then like we learned last week, you are touching the buttons of the code, and the infinite God is becoming enclosed in your words and in your mind when you're thinking of what the Gemara means. This is what the Yanuka meant in the Zohar when he said that through your physical mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, not through how you feel or what you think, but through your mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, through your acts of doing mitzvahs, that candle stays lit, the Shechina, which is called the Shechina, stays lit. What does it mean, the Shechina is lit? It means that there's a gilui, there's a revelation of Elokus, of godliness, in this physical world. Because Hashem wanted to create a physical world in which His presence would be revealed in this world, in the lowest of all worlds. It was the Tanya says later, as Ein Tachtayim, there is no lower world in this world. And Hashem sought, and Hashem seeks to create a dwelling place in this lowest of worlds. Kamayim Chazal, Shafilu Echad Sheyoshev Isaac B'Torah Shechina Imay. Chazal say that even a person sitting by himself and learning Torah, the Shechina is with him. Ach Kedei Lahamshich Or VeHor Is Shechina Gamal Gufo VeNafsho Bahamis. Now, how do I draw that light of Hashem down to the lowest levels of even my physical body and what my Nafsho Bahamis, my animal soul? How do I draw the Rebbeinu Shlom's light, that godliness, into the lowest? It's one thing if I'm thinking thoughts of Torah. It's a person sitting and learning Tanya, he's learning Kabbalah, so his mind is attached to the divine mind. How do I draw the light of Hashem, mamish, into this world? And in Mitzvah on Shabbos, I'm going to talk about this. That's why when Yaakov Avinu had that dream, but the latter, and Hashem was upon him, Yaakov had the dream, and the Torah goes out of its way to tell us that what? That Yaakov Avinu was lying down. Because the tachlis is that the Rebbeinu Shlom's light should be able to what? To enter into the life of every single Jew, of everything in this world, even that's in a state of lying down, which means in a state of an afilo, the lowest state of things. The only way to do that is by what? Is taking your physical limbs of your body and causing your physical limbs to do what? To be preoccupied with godly acts. Because only that is completely godly. Only when you're doing a mitzvah, you're putting on tzitzis, it's pure godliness. But you're putting on tzitzis with your physical, you're going through the motions of putting on tzitzis, and you're using the material, the physical materials to create the tzitzis. When you're doing that, through those mitzvahs masiyas, when that happens, he says, Tzarech l'kai mitzvahs masiyas anasa ideh haguf mamish, oz koach haguf mamish shabasiyazu. Then what? You're investing physical energy into this godly act. As long as it's according to halacha, has to follow 100% halacha, then what happens is that it's nichlal bar Hashem, it becomes caught up, it becomes included in that light, the infinite light of Hashem, that simple act of what, of putting on a talis cotton. That's why the Goyin was crying before he died, when he was holding on to his tzitzis, everybody knows, right? He held on his talis cotton before he was nifted to the Vilna Gaon, and he was crying. And he says, could you imagine, in this world for a few pennies, I'm able to be mekayem the mitzvah of tzitzis. In the next world, we're not going to have such a schus. What does that mean? So everybody's thinking that Vilna Gaon, the next world, all those secrets, those mysteries that you've been trying, that all those mysteries that you began revealing here in this world, that's where you're going to get. So the Gaon was saying, it ain't worth it. I'd still rather have, for a couple of pennies, a talis cut. Which Chazal themselves say, that 1 hour of mitzvahs and masam tovim, of tshuva and masam tovim in this world is more precious than the entire coming world to come. That is, because why? Not how I feel. The Vilna Gaon would feel better in Olam Haba. The Vilna Gaon, this world, the Vilna Gaon wasn't, he wasn't going to Baskin Robbins or anything. It wasn't the pshat. Oh,
it's
wrong. Yeah, it wasn't right. So the Vilna Gaon wasn't how the Vilna Gaon is going to feel better in Olam Haba. That's for sure. The Vilna Gaon is going to feel better in Olam Haba. But the Gaon was saying is that the tachlis of the bria, the creation of all elements of all the worlds, is that a human being should spend a couple of bucks and put on a talis katan, give a kiss and be mekayem mitzvos Hashem in that lower physical world to make it dear, to make it a dwelling place for God. Therefore, as I mentioned last week, the Ramchal writes that the neshama is waiting with great longing after death for the time when it will be reunited with the body by Tchias HaMeisim. The neshama is chalashing to come back to the body, which you think is crazy. What do you want to go back to that miserable place? Right? You want to, don't go back. Don't go back there. Don't go back. Which Rabbi Nachman told Reb Nosson. Rabbi Nachman Breslov told Reb Nosson that when you come, Reb Nosson asked Rabbi Nachman for an Eitzah. Before Rabbi Nachman died, he asked him for an Eitzah that he's going to need an important Eitzah. So Rabbi Nachman told him that when you die, they're going to offer you to go through suffering or to come back down into the world in another life. And Menachem says, I'm warning you, whatever suffering they tell you about in that world, accept it, don't come back down. Whatever they tell you, that you're going to come down to a Talmud Chacham, you're going to this, you go to that, don't accept any offers of returning to this world. Because, why? Because the stakes are very high in this world. The Yetzirah, the Yisurim, it's unbelievable. But ultimately, when it will be Tchias HaMeisim, and all the craziness will be gone, V'harisha Kulon and all that is evil, a Moloch will be destroyed. The neshama is waiting to be reunited with such a goof, with such a body, where Hashem's light can be revealed here, in this physical world, in this physical world. And when Rabbi Nosson asked Rabbi Nachman was talking to him about going to Eretz Yisrael, but Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Nachman had been to Eretz Yisrael, he was describing, and he says, Gevalt, Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Nosson asked him, what, Rabbi, what about Eretz Yisrael? What Bechin, in other words, what Indian of Eretz Yisrael? What Indian of Eretz Yisrael? So Rabbi Nachman said, I'm talking about the houses on the streets. I'm not talking about, like when the kids get back from Eretz Yisrael and they say, the Ruch Nis is gewaldig. Rabbi Nachman said, I'm talking about the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. The houses on the streets of Eretz Yisrael. What does that mean? What the Tzaddik was saying, what does he care? It's a house over there. Let's make a difference to them, a house. This world meant nothing to that man. Because he understood when he spoke about the houses and the streets of Yerushalayim, he wasn't in Yerushalayim, of Eretz Yisrael, that there's such a thing that in this physical world that a house and then a street can be saturated with godliness, where Lakus is mamash revealed, because Eretz Yisrael is such a place. Tayva Aretz Ma'od Ma'od, it's very very good. And I explained last Motzei Shabbos that Ma'od Ma'od is because it says Ma'od Ma'od have a shval ruach. That humility is ma'id ma'id, to be exceedingly humble. Eretz Yisrael is a place of gilui elokus. It's a place of prophecy in the vua, because Eretz Yisrael doesn't hold from itself. Eretz Yisrael.
Do you think it's time now to come back to the ultimate reunification of God?
Because he was saying that it's better to wait for the end. Yeah. Okay, there are three garments for the soul, for the nefesh alakis. There's machshava, there's thought, there's diba, there's words, and there's maisa. Since the purpose of creation is that a person should draw Hashem's life into this world, And the darkness should be transformed to light, and the bitter should be transformed to sweet. That's what Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu on that day, to sweeten the water, to sweeten that which is bitter. So that, therefore, when a person is doing a physical mitzvah, he's taking that which is most bitter, which is the physical world, that which is most dark, and he's what? He's illuminating the physical world, and he's sweetening physical existence with God's presence. That's what a mitzvah does. Now, even that side, which is the side of darkness, becomes illuminated. Because this human being, by doing the mitzvah according to Allah, he is the one who is what? Who is pressing these buttons. If not for the human being's body, you see, when you're doing a mitzvah, you get your body involved. If not for the body, the neshama would be stuck without being able to bring Hashem's life into this world. Because the neshama, the soul itself, isn't capable of doing that without the body. Even though the animal soul, the nefesh of Bahamas itself, is not godly itself. But if you force your body to do what? You force your body to obey God's will. That's the purpose of our lives. You don't feel like getting up for minyan, you force your body to get up. Your body says stay asleep, and you can stay in bed, and you force yourself to go. Your body says eat something that's not proper, and you force the body to listen to the Baruch Shalom. When you do that, it's about karachach einin amen, that you're forcing the physical world to answer amen to the will of the soul. That the physical world must comply to the will of the soul, and that's the purpose of creation. That a human being, a Jew, has the ability that his mind should rule over his heart. Even though your physical, your nefesh Bahamas is telling you to sleep, but the person's able to lie there in bed and he's so tired, he's able to say what? Inside of his moyach, which is the place of the neshama of the nefesh Lekish, he's able to say, I must go to Davin Mitzibur. I have to go Davin. And when the person does that, when the moich is shalut al aleve, he says, Vishina canal, lakach ein zu meniyim ashrosa shchina al gufa adam b'shoa zu, dahainu shekoyach nefesh achinus, amalubish basiyas amitzvuhu nechla al mamish bar Hashem, then you're bringing your animal soul and your body, and bringing the mamish into the infinite light of Hashem. Umiyuchad bo b'yichad gomer v'ideza, mamshich ha'ora klolis nefesh achinus, shebekol haguf, the gamal gufagashmi, even the physical body, b'chinas makif milamal meiroshay vadraglav. Now this last sentence, let's talk about for a minute. You remember that the Yanuka, the child in the Zohar, said that the light of the Shekhinah is lit above your head. That's it. Because really, really, the highest level is that it wouldn't be lit above your head, but it would be lit where? In your head. There's a difference between a light that surrounds you and a light that fills your life. So the Shekhinah is lit above the head of a Jew, which the Tanya says is that Bechina is that aspect which is referred to in this form as the Ramakif, the surrounding light, which means it doesn't yet penetrate into the essence of who I am. But it's there. So the point that the Rebbe's making here, and that's why you remember at the beginning of the parak he said that I want to give some chizik. When he said at the very beginning of the parak, he said, I want to give some chizik. What did he say? Tihizais nechemosim lenachman bekiflaim lesushi lesamech libam bashan. Remember the time you began by saying, "Ach, Jews, their whole lives, all you're ever doing is fighting against the Yetzirah, and you never ever quite get there. You never win. It's always a struggle, and you always have these darker impulses that are creeping up inside of you." So what's the tachlis? So the Tanya says, "Listen, I want to give you some chizik. I want to talk to you." He says, "To give you nechama, I want to give you a double nechama." The Rebbe says, what a lashon so beautiful. To bring you joy. To know that Hashem dwells with you in your Torah and in your Avodah, in your learning and in your observance of mitzvahs. So, of course, what the Tanya is referring to here, and at the end when he says, it's b'chinas makif milamal me'roshav ad raglov, and yet it doesn't yet necessarily mean that it's an or pnimi. It doesn't necessarily penetrate into you. But it's encircling you. And that's how the child calls that in the Zohar, a light that is above you, the candle that's shining above you. So I saw one of the Svar mentioned about this, that, you know, the Kedushas Levi, the Bedishiva said that if a Jew were able to walk with his tzitzis into Gan Eden, if it were possible, to walk with your tzitzis into Gan Eden, if that were possible, so the Bedishiva said that the entire Gan Eden would be utterly burned and destroyed because of the holiness of your tzitzis. Gan Eden, paradise, wouldn't be able to exist. If a Jew would go in with his physical tzitzis, If it was such a thing, if such a thing were possible, with the Bedincha, whatever he meant, that if you can go with your tzitzis into Gan Eden, the whole Gan Eden would be destroyed from the Kedusha, from the powerful light of you know, that yellow pair of tzitzis you've been wearing for the last 20 years. The whole Gan Eden would be destroyed from the light of the holiness, the Bedincha said, of a Jew's tzitzis. As long as the kosher halacha, it would be destroyed by the light of that tzitzis. So the question is, so how come you and I put on tzitzis doesn't burn us at all? Doesn't make, not even, you know, not even the slightest little spark. It would destroy the whole Gan Eden because of its holiness, its kedusha. But when you and I put on a thal katan, you know, maybe sometimes you think about it. So we understand. Because this entire world, all of existence, all of physical existence, and your ego, are master or Hashem, are concealing and hiding the light of Hashem. That's what this world is all about. That's what the Tanya was talking about before. It's master, it's a hestapana. But what the Tanya is saying is that it's dafka because of that. It's because of that that we could do certain acts that are purely godly that even an angel couldn't do. An angel can't put on a if physical tzitzis would go to Gan Eden, all the malachim would be destroyed from its holiness. You remember I told you last week the story about the person who couldn't put the jewel into the crown, right? Because he understood how precious that crown was because it was the king's crown. See, his hands were shaking. He was the one that designed the crown of the king, and he couldn't put the jewel in. So he had to call some little yankel from the street. Yankel, do me a favor. You can put this rock in that hole over there. Sure. He doesn't know this. He doesn't know who the king is. Doesn't know what the crown is. He just knows one thing. This is what I was told to do, and I'm going to do it. And I'll do it the way I was told to do. Just this way. Same thing when it comes to a Jew. That a person, if we would know what tzitzis really are, and what happens when we put them on, and if we would really know who the king is, then we would be burnt. We would be burnt to ashes putting it on. We wouldn't be able to stand. We wouldn't be able. We would fall apart like the Kedushas Levi had a hard time doing mitzvahs. You know. I don't mean he had a time doing mitzvahs. He had a hard time controlling it. As I spoke about last week, he couldn't control himself. He pushed it because the Bedincha was holding in such a place. But you understand that it's because we're human. It's because there's an ego. It's because there's a physical world. It's because that Hashem's infinite light is hidden from our eyes. Dafka, because of that, you and I, for a couple of dollars, we buy a talis cotton, we buy a tzitzis, and what? And we're in the business of pure, unadulterated godliness without any concealment. In essence of what it is. It's mamish, you are at that moment, you are involved in, you are connected to Atzmusi Yisborch in the most, to the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the most powerful way. Now this is the point of the surrounding light that the Tanya is talking about in this last sentence on the page. Because this is what hurts us, Lamaisa. This is the source of our pain. My entire life, your entire life, our entire lives, we are constantly adding oil to the candle. What's the oil? We learned the oil is mitzvahs and masim tovim. That's what it says in the Zohar, right? What's the oil? Tefillin and sitzes and putting something in the pushkin. All the stuff that we do, making kiddush and avdalah chveis, you know, cressing out the nashrei yishtabach. All of our lives, we're pouring oil into this candle, and we hardly ever get to see sometimes a little bit of a ne'ilah, you know, sometimes you get to see a little bit of a light, but generally speaking we go day after day, year after year, lighting up the Shechina that's above us with our mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, but it remains always above us. We never quite draw it into the essence of our lives. We never quite. It's always something that is in that bechina of makif that it doesn't. This is the sadness that it doesn't illuminate your heart. You see, if you or I would see, if we would have one little bit of a sighting of what does it mean when you or I are doing mitzvahs, we wouldn't be depressed about anything. It wouldn't bother me if my boss told me to drop dead. It wouldn't bother me, if, you know, if my mother-in-law made a nasty face at me or something. This is not autobiographical, by the way. It wouldn't bother me at all, and it wouldn't bother me. I have a better panos, I have lesser panos, he has more panos. It wouldn't bother me. The biggest simch in the world, could you imagine if we would know what the talis cotton, just if we would know what tzitzis are, and who's the one that we're serving when we wear the tzitzis? So this is what's so sad. This is what the Rebbe says. I want to comfort you a little bit. I want to tell you what you're doing. I want to tell you what's happening. Because I know you're not feeling this. But I want to tell you what you're doing. You, my friend, he says, every single second, when you climb out of bed, you wash neglavas over there, you know, and you drag yourself to shul, you have no idea how much oil you're putting into that, and you don't have into that candle, and you have no idea what kind of a shechina is burning over your head. And the Tanya says, learn daven, especially pnimiyas haTorah, and you're going to come to understand also and feel. You can come to feel that, but bederech klal, the Rebbe is saying that it remains. A person feels it as a makif, it surrounds. That's why it's the shechina. Because the truth is that the shechina is above the head. That's what the Yanuka, the child, says in the Zohar, because ultimately even the greatest tzaddik can't fully understand that. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says that if we knew what a mitzvah was, we would trample upon each other to get to a mitzvah. If we knew what it was, a poor person comes to the door, instead of saying, oh, no, here's another one, we would fight to get to that poor person. We would fight, but we don't understand. Therefore, it's crazy. This is the craziness. The craziness is, you and I, all of our lives, we are lighting fires, unbelievable fires, but in our hearts, it's as cold as ice. That's crazy. That's why we have to try to get some. You know, we have to try to get some burning inside too. But lamaisa, many people lose a cheshek. They, you know, how long can I go on doing this stuff? So you tell them, no, you don't know what's going on. It's like, listen, I don't know, and I don't even. I'm not even sure it's there. God forbid. But the Tanya says this is the pnimius of what's happening here when a Jew is doing mitzvahs without feeling, without knowing. Meroshe v'aragla, v'zeh shekosev, and that's what's written next page. The shchinta shariyal reishit. The Tanya explains that's what the Yanuka meant when he said that the shchina is dwelling upon the head, not in the head of a Jew, but upon the head. Al daika. Al davke, it says on the head, not in. V'chein ha'kol be'asorah shchinta sharya. You have 10 Jews, they get together to daven, they get together. The shchina is revealed in that place in a remarkable way. V'nei kol b'chinis hamshachas or ha'shchina shi b'chinis gili or ha'in sabaruch ha'in ha'nikwa shinli chasa shalom be'yizbarach v'lai ribu k'd isa b'sanhedrin d'omle ha'hu mina l'rab m'gamlil ha'mirosa kol be'asorah shchinta sharya ka m'shchinta izluhu l'chu. And the Rebbe is just saying here at the end to remind us, we don't have to go into this now, that one shouldn't think, God forbid, that there are any changes in Hashem. The fact that he's dwelling here and he's not dwelling there doesn't mean there are any changes. As the Gemara says, when there was a certain min, a certain apikaris, that he was challenging Rabban Gamliel, what does that mean? That there are 10 people, and there are 10 people, the Shechin is here? Does that mean that when there aren't 10 people, there is no presence of God? So Rabbi Gamliel said that this can be compared to the light of the sun that comes in through many windows, which is a very remarkable mashal. That means the light of the sun is constantly shining. Right? It's constantly shining. The question is, how many windows do you have in your house? And whether you have shades or blinds. Hashem's light is equal everywhere. The question is, we learned before, is am I opening up a shade? Am I opening up a blind? Am I allowing him in? But Hashem's light doesn't change. Just like, you know, you might in the house you have all these outlets, but you have to plug the thing in. If it's not plugged in, the electricity is available, but you have to. I mean, at least in New York it is. You have to plug in the thing to be able to access it. So that, and you're wondering. You say, I don't understand. A person that's new that never saw how the appliances work couldn't possibly understand. You take a little tape recorder, this tiny little thing. Let's say you plug it into the wall. And now it's a tape recorder and records a person's speech. And then he sees a huge refrigerator. And he sees the guy goes and plugs into the wall. So the guy doesn't understand. This guy doesn't understand electricity. He says, how could it be? How are you talking? There's some kind of a God in there, in the wall. But I understand. There's the God-like of the tape recorder does one thing. It's the same plug. He doesn't hop. And that same God in that wall makes that refrigerator cool things off, that's a different God, because that's the God of cooling, that's the God of recording. What's going on with it? What kind of things then? How could it all come from unplugged? Who is that God? Is it the God of cooling or is it the God of recording? And so the teretz is, it's one God, echad yochad miyuchad. It's just a question of what kind of windows you're opening, that's all. Right? The refrigerator is opening up a certain amount of windows. And therefore it allows in a certain amount of that electricity, that energy. A tape recorder is allowing a little. It allows in much less, so to speak. Into the sewer of this kli, what it needs, what that kli can handle, what that vessel can handle. But it's one God. It's echad yochad miyuchad. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
He also deak there and says akol. He says v'chein akol be'as are not bekol again. Also, it's or hamak if not.
Yeah.
Because once you go to minyan, and you also eat just 10 people there, especially 6:30 in the morning, mumbling away, and you don't feel it either.
And the shechin is mamish there. The shechin is mamish there. It's a candle. That's, if we would have a camera that were able to photograph the truth, if there was such a camera, it's hard to believe. Because we all think like we walk around chas v'shalom like a little malach ha-mavisel standing over us. If you and I would see what happens when we're being mekayim a mitzvah, when we're doing a mitzvah, and what kind of a candle is lit over, especially nowadays, when it's in this lowest of worlds, it's the lowest of times. That if you have a Jew that tries a little bit to daven, that's why the Svarim HaKadoshim say that the mitzvahs that we do now, even though they're so small in comparison to the way the Jews served in those days. But you have to realize that for you or I to squeeze out a mitzvah, my father told me that in his hometown, if a Jew didn't show up for minyan one morning, then they went over to see what's wrong with him, if he maybe is sick. Now, if a guy comes to minyan, they ask him if he feels okay. Yeah, everything all right? Well, so your wife kicked you out. There's some problem at home. Shalom bayis. You don't have to tell me everything. Why are you in shul so early? Right? My father said there wasn't such a thing. And I remember because when did my father tell us we're making the phone calls, right, to try to get a tent. And my father turned to me one day and he says, how come there aren't 500 people here? So my father says, even if we take out, let's say that maybe some of them work till 10 o'clock at night, you know, whatever, they came. But 9? and so maybe once they're diving someplace else. No, because there's only one other shtiebel, and that shtiebel didn't have a mincha marv. The Rebbe himself used to come daven in the big shul. He was one of the nine. He didn't have in the shtiebel a minyan during the week. Where is everybody? My father said, it's a pelebe, you know, and my father's on his own zine. He'll never miss. He just goes the same way, you know. He just continues in that way. There's no such thing. This is the avodah of a Jew. This is what you have to do. You feel, you don't feel. Right? This is what we're talking about the morale. This doesn't do anything for me. This does something for me. Right? These lashons that you hear, mincha doesn't do anything for me. Doesn't do anything. That's how I feel. That's how I feel.
How does it?
100%.
I'm saying you have to do it because it's a tzivui, or you can do it because
the act itself.
An external reason. Hopefully, I'll get to the point of doing it because Hashem wants me to do it.
100%. When a person is touching something godly his entire life, eventually it wears off on him. It rubs off. Together with of course, with learning and avodah and so on, eventually it rubs off.
What's the goal? The goal, as Maharal was saying, is just to do it because it's the will of Hashem?
To be a servant of Hashem, and that way, it's not a question of I. It's not a question of a reason that I, like Maharal was saying, it's because of this that I'm doing this mitzvah, to do this, to cause that, to make me feel better, to make me into a better person. Which the Maharal says, yeah, sure, that'll all happen. But that's not why you do a mitzvah. What you're doing a mitzvah is, Do you have page 90 there? Look, just the first sentence of Lamed Vav, Perek Lamed Vav. Then really, really what we need to learn is Perek Lamed Zayin, but we're not going to have like, time for that. But really try to learn Perek Lamed Zayin, because without Perek Lamed Zayin, you can't understand what's the need of Mashiach, what's the need of Ches HaMeisim, Bechlal not. This is Mamish, what we're talking about. The whole Maharal, what we've been talking about, is Perek Lamed Zayin. So, Adarab, maybe we could begin with that in September, Perek Lamed Zayin, but try to take a look if you have a chance at Lamed Zayin. But the first sentence of Lamed Vav is Vehei Hinei Muda Muda Zayis Ma'amar Chazal Shetachles Bias Oilam Hazehu Shenis Avak Nes Baruch Lies Dior B'Sach Tainim, that Hashem expressed His desire to dwell in this physical world. So the Tani asks, what does that mean? Now, Hashem does not such thing as above and below. That's physical space is a human way of measuring things. Right? Hashem fills all worlds equally. So then here the Tani goes on to explain, what does that mean? That Hashem is Baruch wants to dwell below in this physical world, and it continues on in Perek Lamed Zayin, which is really what we really need to focus on. Just let's read one or two, just the beginning to start the Perek, and then Mitzvah will continue. I think Dovi was kind enough to photos that, and maybe hold on to or keep it with you, Maral, so we'll come back to Bez Hashem after the summer. In Perek Lamed Zayin, the Tanya begins. Really, Lamed Vav, you need to learn also. I know it's skipping it. It's just that the Iker is Lamed Vav is sort of like in parentheses after Lamed Hey, and then Lamed Zayin. He's going back. This is what's going to be fully revealed in the days of Mashiach and Tchias Amesim. That what? Shehu Gilui Or Ein Sof Baruch Hu Ba'ilam Hazeh Hagashmi. It's going to be revealed that what? The infinite light of Hashem will be revealed in this physical world, and that's totally b'maseinu b'avadaseinu kol zman meshech hagolus. And how is that going to come about, that the light of Hashem is going to fill the world with Mashiach and by Tchias HaMeisim? It's because all these long years of golus, the Jewish people are engaged in these physical acts of serving Hashem, of being avdei Hashem. And this is the pella. This is the unbelievable paradox. On the one hand, Olam Hazeh is the lowest of worlds. Ein tachtein mimenu. The Tanya says there is no lower world in this world. On the one hand, it's the lowest of worlds, and therefore there's such hest upon, there's such concealment. On the other hand, is davki in this world, in this lowest of worlds, that one can create a dwelling place for the Shechina, which means to reveal the Atzmi as the essence of God, Mamish, which the Malachim themselves can't. And the Bittitcher says you can't walk with Tzitzis into Olam Haba. And even though that this tachlis will only fully be revealed, that's what the Tanya is saying, hine tachlis ha-shleimus is a, this tachlis is only going to be fully revealed when, only when Mashiach comes will this be fully, because right now we don't feel it, right now the Shechina is over there someplace, there's some candle out there burning, but we don't feel it inside, and we don't see it with our eyes, mamish. But the tachlis of the shleimus is going to be revealed what? It's only going to be revealed when Mashiach comes, nevertheless, mikol makom, nevertheless, even in our days, v'zman hazeh, in other words, during these long years of golus, and other rabbim, Davke in the darkest of times, Davke now. We don't even know who we are. That the Baruch Shalom saved our neshamas to come into the world mamish in the darkest time, at the end of time. If we would know, we bechlau don't know who we are. We bechlau know hasag of who we are. That Hashem sent our neshamas Davke in the achesam, in the tachlis hachoshech, in the darkest time, in the tachlis achumrius, in the most physical, base world that we're living in now. Davke, you and I are now Isaac. We have the privilege to be Isaac in this mitzvah, to be preoccupied with this, not just mitzvah, with the ultimate purpose of creation, which is to draw the light of God into the lowest of worlds. Because you know something? Our ancestors didn't have that opportunity. What do I mean by that? They were able to bring it down. They brought it down, whether it was to Krakow, whether it was to Prague, whether it was to Warsaw, whether it was in Yemen, in Tehran, wherever it was, they brought it down. But you and I, we could bring it mamish down into the schmutz. You know why? Because that's where we are. Because that's where we are, Nabuch. By Yishka v'makamahu, we're lying mamish. That's why it says that Chernobyl speaks about it. Vayishkav, Yaakov, he was lying down on the ground. Vayishkav is v'yeshchav beis. Even here are the 22 letters of the Aleph beis. In the lowest of places, v'yeshchav beis. That our ancestors never sank to such a low place. We're living in such a low time. Every single time I pass by the building, the shul that we're building, every single time I pass by, I think of this. I think of Vihina Hashem Nitzavalov. That in this place, in this crazy world of videos and of murder and rape and misery, in this crazy world of darkness, that Yidden, the Jews, are still trying to build places for the Bein Shalom. To build a dir b'sachtoinim b'sachtoinim mamsh. Therefore, the Tzaddik is saying, the Tanya, is that redemption, Mashiach's not just all of a sudden like, all right, you guys really worked hard, here's some candy. Mashiach. All right. The Bein Shalom will give us a nice time, Mashiach. Nobody has to work anymore.
right? The Machaya, everybody has a good central air conditioning, no more units with the noise. Machaya, right? So it'll be good. So people have such a hasaga, like, you know, you guys really put in a big effort this last couple of thousand years, and I think, you know, it's coming to you. If that's your hasaga of Mashiach, tzarachmanis, then that's not much to work for. I mean, you know, people like candy, so people will do so much to get a good candy. But how much could you hate work? Don't answer this. But how much could you hate work that the biggest prize you could think of is being, you know, it's not working? How bad could it be? So, that's not the tachlis. Well, the tachlis, what the Tanya is saying is, Mashiach is not, alright, here's your prize for all your effort. Mashiach is the sum total of all the candles that have been lit, and when all those candles come together, that's the fire of Mashiach. That's Mashiach. It doesn't mean, it's a process. It's been going on. And you and I, we're doing what we have to do. We need to do more, but we're trying. Right? Which means with our days, like the Rav Shitzer said, with our days, each and every day is contributing to the building of the Beis HaMikdash, the building of the third Beis HaMikdash, to the building of redemption. To the building of redemption, like that Maisa that I told you, from that Yid that he would go every year to light Chanukah menorah by Mendel Rimanover. He would bring the oil for the first candle. This was his Indian, that he'd bring the oil for the first candle. And he lived across a forest, and it was a horrible snow the first night, Hanukkah. There were no roads or anything. But he wasn't going to give up that mitzvah of taking over the oil to bring to Rebbe Mendel Rimanover that oil. So the wife and children are begging him not to go. The Rebbe will understand. He has oil. Maybe the last day is Hanukkah, but you can't go. And he went, and he refused to listen, and he went out there, and he was in the forest. There's nothing to talk about. He was a blizzard. He got totally lost. And hours had gone by, and he was exhausted. He sat down to die. He knew he was going to die. But before he died, he says, let me at least do a mitzvah. So he was able there to tear out something from his coat and to make a wick, and he had some oil. See, he made a bracha to light Hanukkah somehow, to make a Hanukkah candle there in the middle of nowhere. He covered it, and he fell asleep. And he had a cholim. He had a dream. In the dream, he saw. He knew it was Eretz Yisrael. In the dream, you know, he was never there, but he imagined he saw Eretz Yisrael. And he saw himself going to a cave, and there was this cave. And he went, into the cave, and he went from one area to another area, and he saw some light coming from a place, and he walked into this room. He saw some light coming, and he saw that there were many, many candles that were lit, but there were like millions of wicks, and there was an old man, an old Jew, who was making wicks. I guess he didn't have the boxes, the floating wicks. So he's making wicks. And he sees in his dream, and he asks this Yid, he says, "Who are you?" So he says that he's Matisyo, Kohen Gadol, from Hanukkah, Matisyo. And what are you doing? So he says, all of these wicks are the wicks that the Jewish people have to light. And he said, "And listen, aren't you going to see Reb Mendel Rimanover tonight?" So the Yid said, "Yeah." In his dream, he said, "Yes." He says, "Tell Reb Mendel Rimanover I'm waiting for him to light up some of to get these wicks burning, so we can greet Mashiach already." And he said, then he woke up, and when he woke up, he was standing right by the doorstep of Reb Mendel Rimanover. And Reb Mendel Rimanover held out his arms and said, "You know, I'm waiting for you." He says, "I'm waiting for you. Come, we're going to light Hanukkah candles, and this way we're going to light the neshamas of those wicks that remain till the coming of Mashiach," as he said. So we should be zayche. Each and every time we do something that's right, whether you feel it or you don't feel it, it's another one of those wicks in that cave that's lighting up, that shechina. And then we should be zayche for the time that all of these will come together and we'll be able to have an Arichas Neleve the Venishayim Shichenu. So we should be Zarechim Mitzvah Shem, I hope, in good health to continue learning his Torah for years and years and years to come. We should continue to be able to learn his Torah, and that and each and every one of us will also see big brachas. For the Maral made promises before he died, and we'll be Zarechim Mitzvah Shem to benefit from those promises, that for those who learn his Torah, which is the Torah, which is the pnimius of Torah, these last days of Mashiach. And there's no greater way for us to prepare for the coming of Mashiach than to learn Teres HaMashiach. And Teres HaMaral is Teres HaMashiach, besides the Maral was a Ben Achaben from David HaMelech, that the Teres HaMaral is Teres HaMashiach. So we should be Zarechim Mitzvah Hashem that hopefully, as Hashem, when we start this year again, it'll be New Shalim. And if some of us have to be a little bit on the outskirts, so we'll travel together. We'll wherever it is, we'll get together. We'll find each other in Yerushalayim. Shkayach.